The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Mark Amtower of Amtower & Company, which is entirely responsible for its content.
This is Amtower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center, with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to Amtower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is a return guest, Lee Fredrickson. Lee is the head researcher and managing partner, I believe, of Hinge Marketing. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
There you go. So I got them, I got them both.
You're right off the top.
There you go. And you can find Lee, and you'll need to as we go along this discussion here because you'll want to download this. You'll find Lee at Hinge, H-I-N-G-E, marketing.com. I strongly suggest you sign up for the newsletter that they have that comes out. How often is the newsletter? It's weekly, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think I get it on Monday, but I'm not sure. I know I read it. I just don't know when I read it. but it comes out on Monday. There you go. So for people who don't know you, Lee, tell them a little about you and a little bit about Hinge, please.
Okay. Well, I'm a psychologist by training, a behavioral psychologist who spent my career as an entrepreneur and businessman, primarily in the marketing area. And Hinge is a branding and marketing firm that works exclusively with professional services, accountants, attorneys, government contractors, management consultants, and the like.
Okay. You also have some background in the AEC community. Is that correct?
We do indeed.
Yeah.
We do indeed.
And there's, you know, tremendous amount. I mean, architectures are a service, so... A little bit more on Hinge, because you guys produce a tremendous amount of material. I have three of your books on my short stack, which means they are on the front line of my desk.
Well, thank you. And knowing your legendary desk, that's pretty nice to hear. Well, one of the things we've done, Mark, is from the beginning, we've sort of taken an approach where first we do research. First, we understand what separates the fast-growing professional services firms, those that grow the fastest and are more profitable, from the other ones. And then based on that research, we use it ourselves in our own marketing. And we are a professional services firm, and we use what we've learned from that research. And then when we figure out how to implement it and all the practical aspects of it, then those are the services that we offer for our clients. So we go directly, everything is based on research, because we found that a lot of times if you base it on intuition and judgment and so forth, without research, you do things that are just simply wrong. They don't work as well.
Bingo. True. And I'm glad you do research, because I don't. Mine's more experiential. Mine's, you know, playing on the front lines, looking around, seeing what's working, but it's not... accumulating all of that data, parsing it, and then generating reports. Mine is much more tactical in nature as a rule.
Sure.
So having
and
your
you need
stuff,
both.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I know I need both. I just don't like to do one of them. So I'm glad you do. You know, you
we do. Yes.
Yeah. You and Market Connections provide me a great deal of actually validation for my instincts. So, but you know, when I reached out to you a couple of weeks ago to come back on the show, I had some ideas for topics. So I wanted to talk about, you know, your concept of visible expertise, your backup of, you know, doing the research, doing the content, you know, networking, et cetera. And you said, oh, by the way, I have this new study out, referral marketing study. And I'm reading this the last couple of days, and I'm going, everything I wanted to talk to about was in here. So number one,
must have been time.
Best, you know, good timing. But for those of you listening to this, referral marketing study is available as a download at hingemarketing.com, and it's a short read. It's only like 20 pages, 19 pages, and it's excellent stuff. If you this will work for non-services companies as well to a great extent. So pay careful attention. So Lee, let's talk about number one, why you did this particular study.
Well, we did this study as a follow-up to one we had done earlier. We found a couple of very extraordinary things. One, we found that 80% of firms were getting referrals from people they'd never worked with. And, you know, you always think of referrals as coming from your clients or, you know, people who work with projects on you. But we have this group of people that are getting these referrals. So we asked a question, what are those all about? Where are they coming from? Exactly who's making these referrals and why? And then the second thing we learned was that there are a whole group of referrals that get made, but the person never talks to you. In other words, they get referred to you, they go check out your website or look up you on social media or Google your firm, and they rule you out before they've even talked to you. And this happens in about half the people. So we figured we need to dig in further and understand exactly why those two things are happening and what's behind them.
Okay. And for those of you, again, listening, when he talks about, you know, looking people up or companies up on LinkedIn or Google or wherever and not using them, he'll get to why shortly. So the executive summary, I'm literally going to go through this page by page with you as long as we have time here. So in the executive summary, the first bullet is visible expertise plays the most significant role in driving referrals, 37.3%. Number one, explain your concept of the visible expert.
Okay. When you are hiring a professional services firm, and this is true for other kinds of things, the reason you're generally hiring them is because of their expertise. You're not hiring them as a buddy for you. You're hiring them because of what they know and what they can do. But unfortunately, it's hard to judge what someone knows or what they can do if you haven't worked with them. So how do you get over that? Well, what we find is that people these days are going more by what they hear about a person. Have you seen that person give a talk? Have you read something they wrote on a blog? Have you interacted with them on social media? And all of those things, writing a paper, giving a presentation, those can make your expertise visible and tangible. Otherwise, someone has no idea of what you know and how good you are. But when they read an article that is related to an issue they're having, and they get some new insight, and they get something new that they didn't have before, all of a sudden, they understand you know what you're doing, you know what you're talking about. And we found that that's becoming more and more powerful, especially as people are so time pressured. You know, it's a lot quicker to look something up online, to Google it, to check social media, than it is to try and contact one of your friends and have a conversation about them. So it is just so easy and so quick that time-pressured people, and who isn't time-pressured these days, that time-pressured people just automatically go to those easier-to-do, quicker kinds of views on who has the expertise.
Okay. So obviously, number one is the visible expertise plays a significant role. That visibility factor is huge.
That's right.
Okay.
And it's the one thing that's not limited by the number of clients you already have. Your referrals are limited. I mean, if every one of your clients makes a referral, you only have so many clients.
Right.
So how do you get more? Well, you can wait for your clients to make the referrals or try and encourage them, or you can go out and make your expertise visible, in which case the referrals will come in from people who have not been your clients, who haven't worked with you.
Hmm. I like that. And I know it's true from experience.
Yeah.
So, I did not know you, and a couple of people that I have worked with over the years kept saying, you know, you really got to go get this report from Hinge. And that was 3 or 4 years ago now, I guess. Maybe 2 or 3, I don't know. But because of who they were, I went. Because I have a lot of people telling me to go read stuff, but some of them are closer to pet rocks than thought leaders. So, well, you know, we all have the gamut of friends, right? So
that's right. That's
all right, right. We're going to take our first break. Lee will be back with me after this. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. We will be back after this. Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is Lee Fredrickson of Hinge Marketing, hingemarketing.com. We're discussing Lee's most recent study, referral marketing study. And when you go there to download this, I strongly suggest you take a look at some of the other stuff. One of the books that I mentioned earlier that's on my desk is The Visible Expert. And I think I'm on my third read of this. It is tabbed with post-it flags. There's probably so much orange highlight in there that it looks like a bursting sun or something. Maybe one of those old tie-dye T-shirts, but extremely good book, and I recommend it to everybody. So, Lee, you have early in the report, why this study, why now? But the thing that caught me on that page was not all referrals become clients, and it's slightly more than half. What is this?
Yeah, what happens if you think about it, and when we first saw the result, it kind of blew us away too. 52% of people say that they don't talk to all the people they get referred to. And when you think about it, it makes sense. So, you're trying to find a new firm to work with, and you ask a friend or two, and you Google something, and you check out on social media, and you come up with kind of a list. Well, it takes time to talk to someone and evaluate them. It can take hours. So what we all do is we, screen people. We take a look at their website or Google them and rule people out. And what I think is the big reveal is that we don't even know what's happening. And once you understand it, you think about it. Have you ever had that person say, I referred someone to you. Did you ever hear from them? And you go, no. And if they don't happen to do it, you could be losing half your referrals or more and not even realize it. Now, when we ask the people why they don't, the top reason is I couldn't understand how they could help my firm. I couldn't understand how they could help me.
No clear message on the website, social?
No. Right. No clear message on the website or social. And if you think about that, what that is saying is they don't understand what your expertise is. They don't understand how you can help them. And that is a very devastating thing, really, when you work so hard to get these referrals and then they melt away before you even have a chance to talk with them.
Do you remember way back, and maybe it still happens, but you'd go to somebody's website and it says under construction?
Yeah, I do, and I
kiss
remember
of death.
It seems like not so long ago people were saying, well, do I really need a website? And I think everyone's kind of past that now, but now we're sort of into it like, well, a website really doesn't do very much. You got to have it, but, I don't really get any leads from my website. And if you don't get any leads from your website, what that is telling you, what you should be hearing is, I've got a crappy website.
I was going to be a little more explicit, but we'll let that ride. But same thing with your social presence. If there's no there on your LinkedIn profile, on your Facebook profile, whatever social you're using, there's no reason for people to reach out at all.
Exactly, especially if they go to someone else and they see they've been talking about the very issues that you're having in social, and boy, that's an insightful comment or an insightful article they shared, and you Google them and there's a couple more articles on your things. Are you going to talk to that person, or are you going to talk to someone who you go to LinkedIn and they got a half filled out profile and three connections?
Yeah. I won't go there right now. So, but you know, you also talk about building a referral marketer strategy here, and we're, I suppose we're going to get to that as we proceed. So, let me back off on that a second. How did you conduct this survey?
What we did, and it was interesting, we went directly to people who make referrals, who referral professionals. So, you know, accountants, attorneys, consultants, bankers, all the people who make referrals. And we surveyed over 1,000 of them and asked them a series of questions about, in this situation, would you make a referral or would you not make a referral? And what's the likelihood you'd make a referral in this situation? And described a series. And that way kind of allowed us to understand what are the scenarios where people actually make referrals versus what are the scenarios where there is a fairy tale about how to get referrals.
Okay. So, and you found 1,168 people to participate in the study.
We did.
Which is pretty darn significant. So
it is. It is a major amount, and it's also follows up and validates some of the research previous. So we feel pretty good that we've got a pretty good window into how referrals actually work in the real world.
And what I really enjoyed on this part was the fact that 60% were senior executive or partner level.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really getting, you know, when somebody that senior says, well, why don't you take a look at this person? People are more prone to listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but does the same thing apply there? If they recommend somebody and there's not enough there, nothing occurs?
Yeah, of course it is. But what you find out when you actually talk to these senior executives and the people who are making referrals, there's a downside to it as well. Because, you know, if you make a referral to your client, let's say you're an attorney or you're an accountant, and you make a referral to your client, and it turns out the person you refer to it is an empty suit, and they let your client down, you risk losing your credibility and even losing a client over something like that. So people want to be certain that the person they're making a referral to is someone they can trust. And, you know, and there's two ways of developing trust, really. It's, you know, one of the big ones is by working with someone and understanding what they do. But the other is by understanding their visible expertise, who they are and what are they known for.
Okay. Yeah, the experiential factor is incredibly important to me when I make referrals because, again, usually when I make referrals, it's because somebody's asking me to do something that I don't do in the government market. And I'll just say that's not my area of expertise. Let me introduce you to one or two people you can select, and I'll follow up usually within a couple of weeks with the person I referred them to. Well, actually, both sides, and make sure they hook up. But I want to make sure that the person I referred the business to is performing because of the reflection on me.
Exactly. You know, it reminds me of a referral we got not so long ago from a marketing firm in Southern California. Now, you would think, why would a marketing firm, for heaven's sakes, who we didn't even know, be referring one of their clients to us? And the reality was just exactly as you described here. The client needed a rebranding and repositioning of their firm, and it was a bigger job than that firm could handle. And they were, you know, they were afraid of botching it. So they went to a source that they were familiar with, and even though they hadn't met us, they had been following our work for times and using some of the insights with their clients, so they felt comfortable, and they developed that trust, even though we'd never met.
That's
the thing that people, you know, sometimes don't understand, that you can do that.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I refer business to you on occasion as well, because I can help people develop a subject matter expert platform. I do that frequently. I do it with small companies, I do it with large companies, and I do it with individuals. But when they need a deeper dive, when they need to rebrand, when they need to reposition, when they need to understand their audience in a deeper way than I'm going to take them, you're top of mind for me. So
thank you. And that's kind of the way it works.
Yeah. But you know, let's move on. So how do you get influencers to recommend your company?
Well, there are really three ways that work pretty well. We've talked about one being the visible expertise and making it visible. We can come back to that one in a little bit more depth. The second way, of course, as we mentioned, is working with someone, having actual work experience, and I think everyone understands that pretty well. The third way is to make referrals to people and establish a reciprocity. In other words, you make referrals to someone, and that creates something of a social obligation, and they return the favor and make referrals to you, which works well if you happen to be an individual who's in a position that gets a lot of people approaching you, some of which are not necessarily going to be appropriate matches for you. And then if you can refer them to someone who also gets people approaching them who may not be appropriate matches, you got a great scenario for kind of a informal exchange or reciprocity to happen.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm sure you've been in this position too. I have a lot of people who say, let's set up this agreement, but they are not people that I would normally refer business to. I have a very short list of people and companies that I refer business to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you're like us and like other people in that way because, you know, referral implies some kind of an endorsement, which is why people want them and which is why they aren't given out so easily. You know, people may say when you meet with them and have the lunch, you know, and talk about your capabilities, they may say, sure, you know, we'll make a referral, but you'll probably never hear from them again.
Okay. We're going to take a break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You can find Lee at hingemarketing.com, and we will be back right after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I am Mark AmTower. Nobody else volunteered, so it's me. I'm here with Lee Fredrickson of Hinge Marketing, and we're talking about Lee's latest study, the Referral Marketing Study. I strongly suggest you go there and download this. This is really rich with information that can help you regardless of what your company does. So we're going to talk about Lee's core concept here, visible expertise, or one of Lee's core concept, visible expertise, but the components of what makes up visible expertise. So let's start at the major factor, forefront of industry trends.
Right, which is really one that kind of goes to, you know, that expertise you're talking about. Do you have anything new to say? Do you have anything that's not just well-worn, everybody already knows it, it's best practices? In other words, do you have a take on something new? Do you have a point of view that's a little bit different? And I think that's one of the things that people sometimes underestimate. They think that when you talk about publications and speaking, they think that it's just about, you know, getting in front and saying well-worn things that everybody has heard a dozen times before. No, it's really about having something new to say, you know, bringing some new data to the party, having a point of view that's a little bit different or contrarian or an application that people haven't heard of before. That's what we mean by being at the forefront of industry trends.
Okay. So no Me Too stuff, understand the difference between a trend and a fad,
right,
and parse it so you can figure out what new aspects there are.
Yep. No empty suits allowed.
Right. Cool. The next one you're real good at, and I also write a lot, so I really enjoy this one, visible experts generate quality educational content.
Right. And that's so important. It's you're really educating your potential clients and your referral sources about what you do and about the topic you know and love. And I think that's why we see so many people who are become very well known. They have a certain love for what they do, and they want to share it with people. Well, as it turns out, that ability to share your knowledge and to teach people is one of the things that really tells a person, I'm talking to an expert. You often hear this thing about that Einstein is quoted as saying that, you know, if you can't explain something simply, you really don't understand it. And that's part of what education is about, taking concepts that are important and maybe complicated and being able to explain and educate.
Okay. So I should point out that being at the forefront of industry trends was 26.3%. Quality content generation is 22%. And from there, it drops down a bit, but things are still relevant. The companies have in-house experts that speak at conferences, trade shows, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
How important is this?
It is probably the single most frequent way that people hear of it. You know, in another piece of research that kind of complements this, we asked which kinds of how you heard about them. And the biggest single place people heard about them was at a speaking event, about 30% of the time. The second biggest was they've read blog posts or articles that the person has written, and that was another 20%. So right away there, speaking and blogging is about 50%. And then if you add onto that interacting with people on social media, you got another 17%. So, you know, you're up to two-thirds of the people have heard either of the three things, either speaking, writing, or interacting on social media. That's two-thirds of it. You have, you know, the other ways are a combination of they've wrote a book that I've read, they have an impressive website, they came up in online searches, or they received positive online reviews. So it's those kind of those big three: speaking, writing, and social.
Read, write, speak, think.
Yep. Exactly. But make sure you think before you speak.
Yes, that would be good. The you know, the other thing, I've seen some extraordinarily bright people speak, but they're boring.
Uh-huh.
For me, that and one of the reasons I really like having you on the show is we both get a little exercised here. I think the enthusiasm you have for your topic really comes through. Go ahead.
Yes. I say yes, I am, and I can't hide it.
Yeah, but if you're on a stage and you cannot exude enthusiasm for something that you know a lot about, will that hurt?
Yeah, I think so. You know, that's one of the big things, droning on. Another one is the concept that you have to say everything you know. So you try to, you know, have these slides that have, there are a wall of words that you throw at people, you know, so to try and be complete. That's another big problem. And of course, the third one we've all seen these kinds of things where you attempt to scare the audience. You know, you have to be careful about this provision and that or that provision, or you have to worry about this, and you have to worry about that. And you just end up depressing people rather than actually, actually educating them sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. But personally, I find, you know, number one, I love speaking. I've gotten relatively good at it. All of us could improve. But for me, If I'm speaking to a group of more than 30 people, normally I'll get a consulting gig or two out of the event.
Absolutely. That's what often happens, those kind of self-referrals, if you will. But, you know, what people don't realize a lot of times is you're probably going to get one or two additional referrals out of there from somebody who attended. And you know, depending on, you may or may not make the connection, and you may or may not realize, you know, once you aware that it happens and you start to ask and say, oh yeah, I talked, this person referred, well, do you know? Well, no, but I think they heard you speak or something, or they read something you did. So that kind of pass along referral is really what really blows the ceiling off the potential for getting referrals.
Okay. I like that too. Because I try to speak frequently, but the gigs are they don't come along for marketing guys quite as often as I would like.
Right. Exactly. It's work.
Yeah, it is work. But, you know, and when I get one, I spend a fair amount of time tailoring the presentation to that particular audience. I don't want to go in with a generic presentation. I want people to think that I am talking to them because I'm trying to.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and that's very important.
Yeah. So the next two are kind of related: publishing relevant industry research and contributing to industry publications. So again, back to that writing aspect and
yep.
research.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay. There's you know, five more factors here, and I want to get to all of them, but we're going to get to them after the break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'll be back with Lee Fredrickson of Hinge Marketing after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I am Mark AmTower. My guest is Lee Fredrickson of Hinge Marketing. We're talking about Lee's referral marketing study. You can download it at hingemarketing.com. I strongly suggest you do so. And we're not even really halfway through it, so you're not going to get the whole thing on the show, so you have to go download it. So let's talk a little bit about some of the other factors here. They showcase high profile projects.
Yeah, that's a great one, you know, and it's one of the things, showcasing projects that you've done. Now, you know, obviously we all know that not all projects can be showcased. You know, there are restrictions, and particularly in the federal space, you're going to come into some restrictions. But that's certainly not true for all things, and there are a lot of times opportunities to showcase projects. And one of the best things you can do is you can invite your client to an event, and where they're presenting the project. And so it's coming out of their mouth about how it worked, what it was, what their experience was like. Those kinds of things are particularly helpful because it encourages people to ask the client about, well, what did you actually think of that firm? How would they like to work with? How's that? What's that person? Do they know what they're talking about? So it really helps your credibility by having your clients talk about it. And you can also do that on your website, not just by that, but by, you know, showing your clients, showing the logos. Now, you know, sometimes you get people saying, well, gee, I don't want to show my clients on my website because then my competitors can come and see who my clients are. And my, you know, question is, so what? What are they going to do when they know who your clients are? I mean, if they're a well-known client, they're going to be trying to get them anyway, and the fact that your client doesn't particularly help them in any way. So I'm not really sure what the overwhelming, compelling reason is to not be clear about who your clients are and who you do work for.
Yeah,
if
I mean,
you're allowed to.
Right. Well, I mean, I list, you know, I do a federal marketing audit, and I list about 40 companies, 50 companies that have been through this process on the, you know, the Word doc that I send out when people ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
All of those companies know that I have them on there. And it's, you know, usually been a little while. I don't include anybody from 2015 yet on that list.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually been a while. The next item on the visible expertise, I'm really surprised it dropped down this low, but it's the have a high quality professional looking website.
Yeah, the it's low because a website is something that if it's with this particular thing about getting referrals, it plays somewhat less of a role. But when you look at from a marketing point of view, it's sort of the hub of where that stuff is. So when someone says they've read blogs or articles that you've written, they probably wrote them on your website. So they don't think about the website being what gives you the expertise, but it's really that's the infrastructure that allows them to see and sample your expertise.
Okay, so if it's a bad website, it could torpedo all of the above.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. So number eight, reputation for doing good work. I would have assumed this would be higher as well.
Yeah, the reputation is very interesting. We delved into the concept of what is the, you've got two kinds of reputation. You've got just the general reputation, they do good work. And then you have your reputation for, they do specifically this kind of work. They're experts in this domain area. That you will get referrals from people who say generally they do good work, but you don't get as many. You get about 50% less referrals just if it's based on your general reputation rather than your specific expertise. So that's the rub with that. It's okay, but it's not as specific, so it doesn't have the same kind of power.
Okay. And number nine really blows me away. 0.9%, not even 1%, 0.9% engage their audience on social media.
Yeah. It is part of it, I think, is the audience we're talking to. There are a lot of them are very senior people, and so they don't have as much of a history of doing that, and they don't think about it. But as I mentioned, when I look at the other study we did, when we said, well, how did you hear about this expert that you referred, that you haven't worked with? How did you hear? Then all of a sudden, social media jumps up to 17%, and it's third. So it's a way that they hear, but they don't think that social media per se is how they've concluded they want to make a referral.
Right, because I was thinking when I saw this, social media helps your number one, your number two, and your number three. So it helps you with staying at the forefront of industry trends because that's one of the places you'll be talking about them.
That's right. That's
when you generate.
That's where they'll see you or they'll get introduced to what you do, or that's where they'll first find you. But finding you there isn't enough. They don't make a referral just because they found you.
Right. And when you generate content, one of the best ways to share it is social. But, and for me, speaking at events, I've altered my profile over the last several months. So my LinkedIn profile picture is me speaking at an AFSEA event. The background shot is me speaking at a NITAC event. And then down underneath my summary, there's pictures of me keynoting a soup conference, et cetera, et cetera. So the first seven pictures you see of me are all speaking. I want to embed that in the market's mind.
And I think that's a perfect example of using imagery to get the point across.
Yep. We're only on page 10 of this bad boy, and we're rapidly approaching the end. So, give us some final thoughts on referrals. Outside of downloading the report and reading it, what should people do?
I think the first thing they should do is they should understand what expertise do I want to lead with? What do we want to be known for as a firm? The second thing they should be considering is which clients can we showcase to help make them more visible and in turn make us more visible. And then I think the third thing they should do is say, how can I optimize, how can I maximize the visibility of my expertise, that expertise that I want to be known for? How can I share that with people through teaching, speaking, writing? And when you put those three things together, you're going to see that it's going to have an impact on your referrals.
I've been practicing this for 30 years without conscious thought as to why. I've always written And I started, my first professional article came out in 88 in Circulation Management magazine. Early 90s, I started newsletters. And I really haven't stopped since. I'm looking at the market on a perpetual basis to see what's good, what's bad, what's ugly, and why.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not known for subtlety, so I get to the the crux of the matter relatively quick.
Indeed. Well, I think that's, a lot of people are successful without really realizing why they got to be successful. But we found that looking at successful companies and looking at successful individuals and understanding how the market works just makes it a lot easier for those of us who didn't, who don't naturally do the right thing when it comes to marketing and branding.
Yeah, and that's another reason to load the other or download the other thing from Lee's site, and that's The Visible Expert, because he does a lot of case study in there, and it's really rubber meets road kind of material. So, Lee, thank you very much for joining me again.
Thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure. I always love talking with you.
Always fun. You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. This is not my day job. I advise companies on all aspects of marketing to the government, leveraging social media, and I run the Government Market Master Continuing Professional Education Program. We offer courses in Columbia and now in Tyson's as well. Thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off-Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.